Uh-oh, federal executive bonuses are coming into the crosshairs of congressional oversight. If your cybersecurity practices aren't quite up to snuff, you could find yourself under some tough questioning about why you got a few extra bucks at the end of the year. That's some of what Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is covering in this week's Reporter's Notebook. Jason joins me now with more. And Jason, this is something that no one likes. What's going on?
Well, what's interesting, this all stems from the Education Department CIO Danny Harris's three-hour marathon grilling that happened before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee about both his ethical conduct as well as cybersecurity at the Education Department. And while we have a full story up on federalnewsradio.com for people to read to see exactly what happened and who said what and how, the one thing I took from this, which I think is key, and I think every CIO and every really federal executive should take notice, is Congress really went back to Danny Harris and said, you've been in the CIO since 2008, you've gotten almost a quarter of $1 million in bonuses since then, and your cybersecurity has consistently been poor, has consistently had troubles, has consistently gotten bad grades on your Federal Information Security Management Act report. And in fact, even on the cyber sprint, they said education did not do well compared to other agencies, yet you still are getting these bonuses. And I think what the key here is, and I asked Jason Chaffetz, the chairman of the committee, about this and said, are you making this connection? And he goes, well, if they're failing at certain things, why should they get taxpayer money? And Jason Chaffetz, you know, off the dais, is a pretty pragmatic person. On the dais, the red light comes on. And
he's
like
a tiger.
Like most members, they go a little crazy in the head. I think the issue here is, he said, people who work hard and do their job and are successful should get bonuses. The people who don't do their job, why are we giving them bonuses? And I think CIOs really should take notice about the questions that these members were asking Danny Harris.
You know, in Chaffetz's favor, you do hear Education Department mentioned from time to time in various forums. I've heard it several times recently. People expect that to be the next big data breach because they have millions upon tens of millions of Americans' records in there. So I guess maybe it is time that was cleaned up. What did Danny Harris say about it?
Well, I mean, Danny Harris obviously disagreed. He thought his performance should not just be rated on just cybersecurity, which it's not. But I think what is going on here is when they look at all the things that you rate a senior executive service member on and say, hey, you may be doing well managing people, or you may be meeting your performance goals around some other piece of the mission. But if you're failing cybersecurity, which is, I think, really a key here because of the OPM hack, because of what's happened within DOD, what's happened in the private sector, I think members understand the severity and really the challenges agencies are facing. They're holding that up to say, if you're failing on this really, really important issue, no matter how you're doing otherwise, hey, should you really be getting the full bonus or any bonus at all? And I spoke to both an agency IT executive and a former department CIO about this, and both seem to be in agreement saying, may not be the only thing, but yeah, it's going to be a majority. And if you get a 1 or 2 rating on your cybersecurity, that really can affect your overall bonus. And I think that's why I wrote about it this week.
It's also true that if there is a breach, and there could be at any one agency at any time, if they find in retrospect that your FISMA scores were good, that you were up to date, that you were doing the continuous monitoring, that does mitigate the, I don't know, psychic or political damage if you had been doing that. This is the problem with OPM, why Catherine Archuleta had to leave, regardless of whether it was her fault, but they had not been doing the things leading up to that breach that might have prevented it. And so this is maybe the same case with Danny Harris.
Right. And let's be clear now, no one's called for Danny Harris to be fired. Well, I shouldn't say no one. John Micah, the congressman from Florida, did. But let's be honest who John Micah is. I mean, he likes a little bit of drama on his dais. But generally speaking, Jason Chaffetz has not called for Danny Harris to be removed yet. He still may. Who knows? But I think long story short is he is tying. I think this is one of the first times I can remember tying the bonus issue to cybersecurity specifically and performance around protecting agency data. And again, it's not so much that Danny Harris is not a good person or doesn't work hard, but if you as the CIO has not taken the necessary steps to protect your agency systems and networks, and yet you're still getting these bonuses of $15,000, $17,000 a year, I think members are really pointing that out, going, you should not be getting this. And I think Acting Secretary of Education John King also was held accountable, and Jason Chaffetz said that there's a big accountability problem across education, and I think that's tying back. Why are you giving these people bonuses when they're not doing this quote-unquote simple thing of securing data?
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller, and switching gears to something that's a little happier story that you've got in your notebook this week, and that is OMB and shared services. They're looking forward to some good things happening on that initiative.
Absolutely. Now, what stood out to me is two things, I think. Number one is that there are 13 milestones that OMB has laid out under performance.gov metrics for 2016. We have a link to those 13 milestones. And one of the major areas we're really focusing on for 2016 is in the human resources line of business. Now, Tom, you probably remember this like I do. Under the Bush administration, OMB laid out the couple different LOBs, they called them, financial management, grants, HR is one of them. And the financial management has gotten most of the attention over the last 8 years. I think what you're going to see in 2016 and beyond is human resources really getting some more attention. Right now, 96% of the agencies use one of four payroll providers. And I think there's this movement to say, okay, what else can we do beyond payroll? What else can we do beyond even the core HR services? But really, from the initial recruitment to the separation, you know, when you retire or leave, can we outsource, if you will, all of that to a federal agency?
Because payroll, you could argue, is a financial shared service, not really an HR strictly shared service, even though it's dealing with people. But there is a lot more to HR than getting paid or getting your paycheck on time. And so they're looking at it a little bit more holistically. But doesn't that also open the door for private sector contractors that also do HR online? There's a couple of very big names in that whole field.
And that's one of the areas that OMB has not been clear about. Where does the private sector play into the financial management and HR line of business? They've said, you know, OMB, David Mader, who's the OMB controller, said that there's a lot of effort for support services. So Interior Business Center, National Finance Center at the Agriculture Department, they will be able to hire or bring on more contractors, but will contractors be able to provide those services under financial management? So far, the answer has been no. Under HR, it's unclear because, in fact, when you look at performance.gov, one of the things they lay out is some of the pilot programs. And there are at least one, if not two, private sector providers giving HR services to agencies. One of them is IBM, for instance. So I think that there may be a bigger role for HR, though, again, we'll have to wait and see as this year kind of moves forward.
Well, the GSA might provide an example of why it's not as easy as it looks. You report that 2 years ago, they said they were going to move their payroll out of
just
themselves.
Get offering shared services. And they said, we want to be done with shared services. And we reported that like, oh, my goodness, this is a major deal. And 2 years later, they haven't quite gotten there yet. And in fact, I know they've made some efforts, but they're still moving through it because it's a very complicated process.
Before we let you go, there are some executive moves and a sad piece of news that you're also reporting. Let's talk about the two executives moving from DHS. This is kind of continuing a parade here.
In some ways it is. Now, one of them, Sandy Peavy, she was the CIO at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, FLETC. She actually retired. So 35 years in government. She's been CIO at FLETC since 1999. So that makes her probably the or one of the longest serving CIOs for a bureau level agency. The other one is Greg Capella. He's actually left the CIO's office in the DHS, where he was the acting executive director of the Enterprise Systems Development Office, and actually took a job as the number two person, the deputy director of the Commerce Department's National Technical Information Service, the NTIS. Neither of them are overly surprising. I think, you know, Sandy had been there, again, 35 years in government. Maybe it just was time to try something new. I think, Greg, this deputy director job is a pretty big deal. It's a nice promotion. So I don't think it's getting out for the sake of getting out because they're frustrated with DHS per se. I think both had other opportunities. But still, you're right. It's a big hit for DHS.
All right. And then we lost someone in the community who has really been a person way ahead of his time.
Sure.
In many ways about data and data architecture and a real gentleman.
I got to get off this obituary beat here. Yeah. I feel really bad. Unfortunately, Brand Neiman, a longtime federal employee, a very vocal advocate for improving how agencies use data, use enterprise architecture. He passed away at the end of January in Virginia. Neiman retired from government in 2010. He spent a lot of his career at the Environmental Protection Agency. 30 years in government, and he'd been working in this data field, what they call the Symantec community, which is a senior data scientist, really to bring people together around chief data officers and really look at the big challenges of big data. You had Brand on several times. We've had him on the air many times over the years. Very thoughtful, very caring, very smart person.
And very giving of his time and willing to lend his expertise to not only interviews, but also events. He was a frequent speaker at many of the events on that topic. So
right, and it's very sad that he has passed away, but obviously he's remembered for all his contributions to the federal world, federal community, so our hearts go out to his family.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, as always, great update.
My pleasure.
You can read this week's reporter's notebook now at federalnewsradio.com. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.